Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies, expressive therapy, and creative approaches to therapy. I am so pumped about today's episode, and Maya shares so many different things about being a business owner and running a private practice. This episode is just chock full of really great information if you're interested in private practice or owning your own business. She goes into one of my favorite things that she talks about is the qualities of a successful business owner, and that's something she gets to towards the end of the episode. But throughout, she also shares her inspiration as an entrepreneur, as a music therapist, and as a visionary. Maya is a creator as well, and she actually also has an online music therapy magazine that's called Connect to Music Therapy, and it's Connect with the number 2 Music Therapy. And I was recently featured on that. I just wrote an article for that magazine, and she just has so many great ideas and is running with them, and she's very inspirational to listen to. So she talks also about the things that have nurtured her own business, different things like reading books, using an idea journal, and engaging in business coaching for her own business. Now, Maya also, she offers business coaching as well, and she has a lot of really great packages that are really supportive of whatever you're looking for. Those are also in our show notes, so don't forget to check all of that stuff out. But so she just has so many wonderful ideas. She truly encompasses the visionary kind of person that we talk about in this episode. And I found it so inspirational to listen to her and really just kind of take ideas by the horns and run with them. So this episode is fantastic. Take a listen, and I will talk to you about some exciting stuff on the other side. Okay, Maya, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so pumped that you're here, that we've made it past our technical difficulties.
Yes, we did.
And now we can dive into the fun stuff.
Yay.
Yes, yes. Well,
technology.
I know, always. We have to, you know, the relationship we have to have with it now is a whole new level.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Well, for our listeners, could you tell us a little bit about what you do in your practice?
Absolutely. So about almost five years ago now, I started my practice, Maya Music Therapy. And we are now a team of 10 music therapists, and as well as some management on our team as well. And we work primarily with older adults in long-term care facilities, but we really do work all across the board. So we're working with children with special needs, teens with mental health concerns, adults with special needs, those recovering from stroke. And our main area with Maya Music Therapy is making really strong community partners that we build, so that we can then serve the residents or the clients that they serve at their respective organizations. So that's sort of the bread and butter of what we do. And we've now moved everything, of course, to be online. So that's a whole other ballgame. And as well, in Maya Music Therapy, we do a few specialized programs. So we do a Little Tunes program, which is a music class for babies and their caregivers. And I also do some business coaching that I love very, very much.
That is awesome. You've got like a little bit of everything that you can do.
I've definitely given everything a go almost in these last 5 years.
Yes, that's so wonderful. So what was it, what was really the catalyst for starting your private practice, you know, when that started? What did that look like?
Yeah, well, it's funny because in retrospect, I think I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. I can remember being a really young child and going to restaurants with my family and taking out a napkin and redesigning the logo for the restaurant and making like a little, you know, plan for how they could get more customers. And when I look back, I've always really had that had that in me. But you know, when I was in school for music therapy and when I graduated, I didn't really think about starting a business. I just wanted to get out there and start working. And so I started subcontracting after university, and I quickly realized though that something was missing because I wasn't getting that entrepreneurial side of me fulfilled. Like, I really wanted to start my own programs and I had so many ideas and needed a space for that creative outlet. And so I decided to make the leap and start my own practice, and was, you know, I felt fulfilled almost immediately once I took that leap. So haven't looked back since then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. There's so much. And I think your practice is a perfect example of how much creativity and opportunity there is in private practice. Of really, it's like the world is your oyster.
That's how I feel. And I just love that. I love that you can, there's so much room for trial and error, and that it's okay to take risks and to, you know, completely fail, because you have that whole, you have your whole platform and this whole opportunity to just try it again and try it in a new way or try something else completely. And I just love that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's so exciting because it, I would imagine starting a private practice is really like a blank slate. Like, you have this canvas and it's like, what do I want to do with this? How do I, you know, where do I start?
Absolutely. And I know, you know, everyone's different. I find every entrepreneur kind of goes about that blank canvas in a different type of way. And I think the way that I always go about it is just really following my inspirations, right? And my gut and intuition. And I feel very grateful that I have the platform to do that, that to just, you know, say, wow, I think, you know, this is going to work this week, so I'm just going to give it a try and see what happens. And I really like that about entrepreneurship.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so fun to see what sticks and what does work.
Right? Yeah. It's very interesting and lots of fun. And sometimes, of course, you know, it can be tough. And I always tell people, you know, you really have to be resilient as an entrepreneur, because if you're going to be doing all this trial and error, there's so much, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, and there's times that things aren't going to work and you're going to hear no a lot. But if you just stick through it, you'll get those yeses and you'll get the programs and the opportunities that are going to work for you.
Yeah, that is such a great point of that, remembering to be resilient. Yeah. What is what's something that helps you stay resilient, even in the moments, those hard moments of, you know, if it's another no, or, you know, having to flex during COVID? What are some of those things that keep you going with that resiliency?
That's such a great question. I think, well, of course, just having a really strong support network. I think it's really important when you're, especially a creative arts therapist entrepreneur, to have a network of other creative arts therapies, therapists who are also entrepreneurs, because it's such a unique type of business. And I just find, you know, having the chance to chat and communicate regularly with my peers is really, really helpful and keeps me resilient, because it's validating, right, that we're all going through very similar experiences together. So that's a big one. And I think just at the end of the day, it's just the drive. It's just the big picture dream that I believe in so strongly that keeps me going, right? So I may have, you know, a week or even a month where I'm feeling down and saying, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm so passionate about our purpose and our mission that it brings me back and keeps me going.
That is awesome. And I think speaks to the power of having like a really well thought out and clear, articulate mission statement too, because that feels so grounding. Like, that would be your grounding force to look back on when things get tough.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like one of the biggest, you know, one of the most important things you can have as an entrepreneur is self-awareness. Aside from resiliency, I think self-awareness is such an important quality, and that's where the mission and your values and your, you know, your vision all come into play. Because if you really take the time to know what your plans are, what you want out of this experience, why you're starting this business in the first place, then yeah, you've always had that to fall back on and to drive you forward.
Yeah, and that's so interesting how, you know, I mean, self-awareness as therapists, but I've never thought about it before in a business, in, you know, kind of from that business perspective. Can you tell us more about that, how self-awareness, what its importance
sure.
is?
Yeah, I love talking about that.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, and you make an interesting point because you said, you know, as therapists, it's so important. And so I think we have an advantage as therapists and business owners because we are already taught to value self-awareness to such a high degree. So I think we're at a vantage point there. But I think – so one reason it's so important is because – there's so many different types of entrepreneurs. I find that a lot of times, at least in the music therapy world, I'll hear people I'm coaching saying that, you know, they're not sure if they fit the typical entrepreneur mold, or they're not extroverted, and they don't feel that they fit that, you know, entrepreneur mold that they've seen out there, maybe in other professions. But I like to tell people that there's so many different types of entrepreneurs. So, you know, if you know what your personal strengths are and what your personal challenges are, then you can figure out which type of entrepreneur you're going to be. And then, you know, you take it away. There's no one type. And knowing what your strengths are, I think, is just so key, because as entrepreneurs, we have so much on our plate, right? We have so many hats. We have to be the marketing guru and the social media expert and amazing, you know, excellent therapist to do a good job and have our clients keep coming to us, amongst so many other things. So, but we don't have to be excellent at all of those things. I think we just truly have to know what our strengths are and then focus on those, because that's what's going to attract the clients that are going to work well for you and the people who are going to be interested in what you're doing. I could keep going, but
oh my gosh, this topic is so it's so interesting too, because I do think there is like a circling back to what you had said at the beginning, that mm-hmm. there is kind of like this classic entrepreneur that I think, I don't know that it's in my mind of like an extroverted person who knows how to do all the, you know, math and all of that
right?
stuff.
Yeah.
And, but it's so true that there's so many different kinds of entrepreneurs, but having the awareness to find out where you fit in that is like, you know, that's golden information, figuring that out.
I agree. It's golden. And then you can, over time, delegate those other areas that aren't necessarily your strengths elsewhere if you're wanting to expand your business in that way. So I think that's important to know as well. And there's a lot of books out there. Like, there's one that I saw actually on the Facebook group, Music Therapy Business Owners, a few months ago. I believe it was Kat Fulton. She posted about a book that I've really enjoyed. It's called Traction. And it tells you that there's two types of entrepreneurs. And there's lots of other books that give you lots of different types. But in this one in particular, it says there's the integrator. And oh, what's the other one? It's suddenly slipping my mind. And that's the one that I am. this is called mom brain for you.
Right? Yes. Yeah. At the end of a long on a Monday. It's a Monday.
Yeah, I don't even remember. But basically what it is that there's one type of entrepreneur that is really creative and cares about the company culture and kind of looks more at the emotions of the company and their employees. And then the other side is somebody who's more detail oriented and, you know, more likes the organizational elements of a business. And that if you can figure out which one you are, that'll just make a world of a difference, because you won't be scrambling to try to do everything perfectly.
Yes, and knowing mm-hmm. where you can let go of things, of like, okay, it's okay if I don't do that thing perfectly because yes. I hate doing it anyway, and that's okay.
Yes. Oh, that's so important. Like when I do coaching calls with music therapy business owners, sometimes I'll share with them that something that I really love and that I feel I'm good at is making cold calls, for example. Mm-hmm. And they'll say to me, you know, oh my goodness, I tried really hard, but I just hate it. It just brings me no joy. it's so stressful. It's not working. I don't want to do it. And that's, you don't have to do it. Like there's so, well, let's figure out what your strengths are and what excites you and what feels good for you. And that's what's going to get you attract clients in your business.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I'm going to link to that book in the show notes too for listeners.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to go on my Amazon list like ASAP.
Yes, definitely. It's really great.
Yeah. And it's so I actually like that the idea of it only breaking down into two things because mm-hmm. the thought of being – it's like, I don't know, like Myers-Briggs tests. And, you know, those can be so overwhelming of like, which one am I in the 16 that there are? Yeah. And just kind of being like, oh, there's two. And that feels like a better fit too of being like –
yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Kate. Yeah. It's visionary and integrated. Yeah.
It came back
to my mind.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Visionary and integrator.
Yeah.
And so which one is the more detail-oriented one?
So the more detail-oriented one is the integrator. And the one that kind of sees the big picture of things is the visionary. So the visionary will typically have like, you know, maybe 30 new creative ideas per week. And that's definitely me. Uh-huh. And the integrator is somebody who would listen to those ideas, hopefully, you know, if you're in a partnership and be able to, you know, figure out, okay, this is the one genius one that's going to work, right? And this is what, and then we'll help to implement those small details. But it's really, really interesting. And I think most people can identify with one or the other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As you're talking, I'm like, yep, visionary. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to find my integrator because right? I need someone to help with all the ideas of like, which one do you go with?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you found that in your business that you've had to, you know, lean on or find, you know, people who have that more integrator kind of personality to help you in your business?
Absolutely. So I don't have a partner in my business, but I've definitely had to find ways to integrate an integrator type of role. I do now have an administrative assistant who helps with some of those real detailed things like scheduling and such. And I also am now working with a community relations coordinator who's helping with some more detail oriented things. I also find that I offer coaching, but I also speak to a business coach, and I speak to Jennifer Buchanan from JB Music Therapy. And I find that I'm not sure which she would identify with particularly, but I still find that speaking to a coach is really helpful in terms of reeling in all of those big ideas. And having someone with experience listen to you and say, hey, you know, these are all great, but based on, you know, everything you've done so far and what you're telling me, here's where I think you should focus your energy.
Yes. And I don't know if you feel like this, but, you know, I feel like I can very much identify with the visionary, but you can feel so ungrounded when you have so many ideas.
Absolutely.
And it's like, which one do I even start with? Which one's the right one? Do any of them make sense? And kind of having that person who can bring you back down feels, I can only imagine, but it feels so helpful.
It's so helpful. And yeah, I definitely relate to that feeling of not feeling so grounded. And something I like to tell people also is, you know, just because you choose one of those, you know, one of the 30 ideas doesn't mean that the other 29 go out the window. So personally, I like to have a journal, like I call it an idea book, you know, and that's just a place where I can spend, you know, however much time you need, but let's say it's 20 minutes a day where you just jot down all those big ideas that are swirling around in your mind, and yes. or you keep working on ones from the past, but then you sort of put it away for now, and because you're focusing on the one or two that you've chosen to focus on for the season or for the year or whatever it might be that you've decided.
Yeah. love that, an idea book. Mine tends to be just like random scraps of paper that I lose then anyway. So I like the idea of having it all in one place where you can really like spend time with it too and nourish it. And it's like a special place, which is nice.
It is. Yeah, I'm the same way. I was on lots of scrap pieces of paper. But now that I've got this book, I can sometimes go back and see ideas from a year ago, you know, and say, oh, yeah, that now this might be a good time to bring this back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I love how, especially that you do business coaching, but you also find so much value in your own business coaching. Can you take us into first, what has business coaching done for you while, since you have sought that out? And then maybe we can dive into, you know, what got you to dive into offering business coaching as well.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'd love to. So I actually, from day one, I reached out to Jennifer Buchanan to coach me, maybe even before day one, as I was beginning to think about starting a practice. And I'm so, so glad that I did, because I just think it's just so valuable. Somebody already has such a wealth of knowledge, and you know, we're starting from zero. So it's helped me immensely. Like you said, you know, we can sometimes as entrepreneurs feel like we're floating and not so grounded. So it definitely helps to ground me. And it helps to, it's validating as well, right? So as I mentioned before, just speaking with fellow entrepreneurs can just feel so, sometimes I think that's all we need, similar to our clients, you know, we just need a bit of validation that we're on the right track and that, you know, that things are going to pan out. But Jennifer Buchanan actually did a program called The Hub, where I think she's offering it again. And I can send you a link. It's really fantastic. Where it's off of a book that she wrote. Oh my goodness. I wish it wasn't this late, because I'm just not remembering names of things. But her program is called The Hub. It's really fantastic. She takes you through all the chapters of her book and really delves deep into the mission and vision statements. So that self-awareness piece we were talking about, I think, plays a big role. But she talks about everything. So like the financial aspect of business, really every aspect. And I just find it incredibly useful. So that basically what led me to start offering coaching was just how valuable I found it for myself. And I'm very passionate about entrepreneurship, almost just as passionate as I am about music therapy, you know? So I just really have this urge to help out music therapists. And I was hearing from a lot of music therapists, you know, people were just sending me in questions, and I thought, okay, maybe it's time to start offering this service. A lot of music therapists I was hearing from were just saying, hey, Maya, I'm not sure if I can do this. I'm not sure if I'm confident enough to get started. And I think that was another big push for me, because I really want to help therapists get that confidence in themselves and figure out how they can make their business unique to their unique selves. So I think that was just very motivating in particular. And I do a 5-session program for people who are just starting out, like a starter coaching package. And I really like that package. Yeah, because it's for people who are just at the very, very beginning. So I try to make it as practical as possible. Like, what do you need to know absolutely before you open your business? So I really enjoy it.
Yes. That is so awesome to hear. You know, I love those stories of where you start with something and then it makes you realize how much you love it, and then you want to kind of give back in that too. Yeah. There's something about that, like you're and I think too, when once you have done something yourself, you have that whole new perspective, and then you can shift that and bring that to other people. And
yes,
yeah, I just love hearing that, how those passions, when they kind of make those cyclical kind of journeys.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you say that, because I find, again, there's so many parallels between being a music therapist and an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And that's another one, right? Like, as a therapist, we should, you know, we hopefully have sought out our own therapy, and that experience will inform our work with our clients. And similar as a business coach, right? We hope that you've had coaching yourself, and then you can bring that to your clients.
Yes, absolutely. It's exactly what I thought of when you were saying it, because it's like that, having that perspective just grounds you so much in the experience, even if it's not like, you know, the same approach, you know, or you might approach it differently than what you experience, but it's just so helpful. It's like getting supervision before you would become a supervisor too, you know, having a long relationship with that. It's so important and just so beneficial.
I completely agree. Yeah. I find it so interesting to see the parallels in our work as therapists and business owners.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So with your five-session course, I'm really curious about what are some of the obstacles that you commonly hear from therapists who are kind of in that starting space, maybe some of the therapists who would be taking this five-session kind of course. What are the things that they struggle with? I'm hoping that, you know, anyone who's listening can maybe hear themselves in that, and then you're like, there is a place for me to reach out to.
I hope so too.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, some of the most common things. One thing is definitely, I really am finding that it's definitely the confidence piece, because a lot of people who are starting a private practice haven't necessarily, you know, subcontracted or, you know, been an employee elsewhere for long periods of time. Maybe they've just graduated and they're jumping right in. So I find that just, you know, the feeling that you can do this to be something that a lot of people struggle with. And it's really common, and it's really understandable, right? It's scary going to business. Really? It's totally understandable. Yeah. So I like to work through that with people, because we need a bit of confidence as business owners, right, to put ourselves out there. It's hard to put yourself out there, but I think if we can find the most authentic way that feels the best for us, then it's a little bit less scary, right? And it feels good. What you're putting out there feels right and feels compatible for you. So I think that's an important piece to really work through. And other things are just some of the essential things. So like, how do I find clients? How are they going to find me? How do I, you know, like what we spoke about, what do I focus on? I have so many ideas. Where should I have a niche population that I'm targeting, or should I work with anybody and everybody? But I would say probably the biggest one is just how do I find clients?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And it's funny that there's two separate, you know, they're not separate because they very much go with each other, but, you know, confidence being this internal kind of thing of getting that, but then this outward, really logistical and practical, how do I find clients and where do they find me?
Yes.
And that balance, you know, is, and I can really relate to that those are those really big things of when you're putting yourself out there. How do you find your people, and how do you confidently do it? And, you know, it's funny that they're kind of an internal and an external piece too.
That's true. That's true. And I think that the external piece, you know, we spend, I guess, probably the majority of time speaking about that, because there's so many little practical things that people want to know, right? So how do I build a website? How do I make a budget? How do I track all the relationships I'm building? So all these, there's so many tiny details and practical things that I think are really important as well. And then there's the bigger picture, like what is your vision and how do we get really clear on your bigger picture dreams?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's going to go. And that's always so exciting.
Yes.
About that as a visionary, probably thinking about the vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Oh, I love that. So you do business coaching, this kind of starter business coaching, but do you also offer business coaching for people who have, had a business and maybe are stuck? I think of something like COVID.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who's thrown so much. I mean, it is just a stick in the spokes of a bicycle of what it's really done to everybody. So what has that looked like for your coaching?
Yeah, I've definitely, had a lot of people reaching out who maybe, haven't chatted with for a while because it was smooth sailing for a while and they've checked back in for some guidance. It's been very much, we're in this together because I'm going through it too. And I've been, I always have been, and I think most business coaches, especially maybe therapist business coaches, are really open to sharing almost everything of what's worked and what hasn't worked for them so that our clients can benefit and don't have to necessarily make the same, have the same challenges if we can just share what's worked for us. And so I think I felt that more than ever during these few months, right? Like, let me just share everything with you that I can, that's worked and or hasn't worked, so that you have a little bit less of a struggle during this time. If I can ease that for you in any way, is sort of been my motto during these months.
Yes, and like you said earlier, like the validation of just we are all here, we're all feeling it, and even if it's different ways, but we're all really trying to trudge through this together.
Mm-hmm. And you might have seen me posting about this on social media because I feel strongly about this. And, hear from some people that I coach or even just some friends of mine say, oh my goodness, it seems like everyone has really figured out how to shift their business online. And everyone's doing such a great job and I haven't figured it out. And, why not? And I just like to really remind people that, everyone is struggling, and just because we see people posting online about, their success, which is great, it doesn't mean that, we don't know exactly how it's going for them and everyone is having a tough time right now and going through a learning curve. So I just like to remind people that, not everything is what it seems, and stepping away from social media sometimes during this time might be helpful.
Absolutely. I think it can be that really double-edged sword where there can be times where like, I needed that quote that just motivated me to like dive back into it. But then at the same time, I think maybe sometimes it's more of an unconscious kind of processing of like, wow, everyone has it together. And really we don't, but it's not.
Yes.
But it can be such a... such a hard place.
Absolutely. But as long as we're aware, right, and we just keep having the conversations, right, with our peers or whoever your network is, then it keeps you grounded and reminded that we're all in this together.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, going back to with your with your business too, and I'm even curious with the way that your business started. Now you have all of these different offer. You offer so much in your community, and you have business coaching. Did it start in one place or with kind of one idea, and has like even your mission or your vision shifted and grown as you've been in business?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes, it changed my mission and vision, and all of that shifts quite often. Although I feel like it's been solid now for a while, but definitely it's shifted since I began. So when I first started, I decided not to niche, I'd say. So I, stated that we're offering services to people of all ages and all abilities, and that was pretty much the only goal I had. That was my mission at that time. Just, you know, we offer excellent services to anyone who can benefit. And over time, although we still do offer services to many different populations, definitely have focused in quite a bit. So there's two aspects of our mission. But the first is that we really pride ourselves, I guess, is a good way to say it, on building strong partnerships in the community with organizations. So our mission actually reads, so providing certified music therapists to every healthcare team. So it's pretty small and pretty short, I mean, and simple, but that's the idea. So we believe that a music therapist is an integral part of a healthcare team and that we should be included in those teams, healthcare and wellness teams. So because of that, we want to build really strong partnerships with organizations so that they can include us as an integral part of their team. And so our focus has then, you know, shifted a bit from serving everybody to really serving organizations who serve many people who can benefit. And our you know, we do work mostly in dementia care. And so are really focused primarily on building strong partnerships with long-term care and retirement living facilities.
Yes. And that process, yeah. I mean, I think niching down is something you hear a lot about in business mm-hmm. in general. Was that hard to let go of some of those other, you know, I think sometimes it's even potential opportunities. Was it hard to kind of let go of that? Or did it feel like that this, you know, this focus and niching down was really like a driving force to move forward?
Yes. Well, there's, I guess, two things I can say about that. The answer is both. The first thing is definitely a driving force, really zeroing in on what your goal is. So, you know, knowing that, okay, our goal is to be a part of every healthcare team. Okay, that is going to really help me focus. And it has. And I think it's, since I did focus in a niche a little bit, it has, our business has definitely grown, and I've definitely felt a really big shift. So I'm really happy that I went in that direction. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of, you know, feeling like maybe you're missing out, I haven't closed the door on all the other things that we offer. Uh-huh. Right? So they still exist on our website, mm-hmm. And they still exist in our clinical work. They're just not what I focus on, you know, in our marketing and in the communications that I send out, because otherwise I feel it's just too much. You know, yeah. There's so many people that we work with, right? Like we work in perinatal mental health, with grief support, you know, personal growth, anxiety. It's just, there's so much. So I think I like to tell people, you know, just because you're focusing and niching doesn't mean you don't still offer other services. You're just not, you know, focusing that all of your attention and time and communications on all of those other areas.
It sounds like the priority shifts a little bit of like that other things or other populations or organizations, they might not be the top priority. Your priority right. might be your niche, but like you still, you know, put your time and energy into serving those other places.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, you might have more than one niche. It might be two or three, or maybe you change it up, right? You change it per season or however you'd like to do it. But I've definitely learned over time that doing that is helpful in terms of growth, right? And helping your clients find you.
Yes, absolutely. And even I think pivoting, I feel like that's I think a lot of people probably had to do that with COVID, finding a way to pivot mm-hmm. in, you know, even just online, but in other ways too, of this is kind of making everybody rethink their business and where they have to put their priorities.
Yes. And I can definitely relate. I mean, I spent all this time figuring out where I want to focus and it was working so well. And I would probably say, you know, right before COVID hit was probably the peak of how well it was going. Like just really close to exactly what I was imagining and dreaming of for a long time. And then boom, you know, not happening. So definitely, you know, being okay with refocusing your niche or your top priority for the time being. And still, you know, knowing that when it's time, you'll go back to your original or your original focus, but it's okay to shift and, you know, you have to adapt. We have to adapt. We have no choice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's funny because mm-hmm. I feel like, especially as therapists, music therapists and creative arts therapists, where flexibility and adaptability are something we talk about all the time. But really, you know, this is like a, you know, we're really, really feeling it. But it's funny because I think we kind of put this on clients all the time to have, you know, adapt and flex. And this is a prime example of like, wow, we're really living what we're, you know, kind of doing a lot in therapy and finding new ways to cope and, you know, creatively problem solve and make our way through it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's such a great way to say it. Such a great way to say it. And I think because of that, a lot of our clients can, like we can, I found at least, we have more to relate on these days, right? So if our situations or, you know, whatever it might be, are polar opposite and we maybe didn't find common ground for whatever reason, if that might be important in your therapeutic sessions, then now I'm finding there's definitely an element of relatability because we're all having to adapt and, you know, figure out these new virtual sessions together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been so much more focus on, I've heard this coming in more, a focus on the relationship, which mm-hmm. I think is beautiful and so wonderful too, of that we're not able to do as much. So sometimes we're spending a little bit more time being with each other than doing, but which I think is so wonderful in itself that we're, that the shift has kind of made us refocus with that.
Yes.
And have that time and then appreciate it and reflect on it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, we're doing a lot of reflecting these days.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, with all of, you know, all of this pivoting and, change with business and and this is probably a twofold kind of question, but what kind of advice would you give to, maybe let's start with, what kind of advice would you give to a music therapist thinking of starting their own business? And then I'll have a follow-up question after that.
Okay, sure. So definitely, I mean, there's so much. Oh my goodness. Okay, I have to focus in now. So definitely to seek out somebody who you trust, who you can bounce ideas off of, whether it's a coach or whether it's a friend or a family member. I just think it's so important to identify who your person is or who your few people are before you begin, and be okay to lean on them and for this, because it can be isolating being a business owner, especially if you're, you know, going into business on your own. So I definitely say, you know, that's the first thing you should do. And the second thing is, I know, you know, we already chatted about this, but I'll reiterate that, you know, taking time to figure out your personal strengths, your challenges, and being okay, being happy with what those are, and knowing that your strengths will serve you well if you can really, a term that I heard once that I really liked was operate out of your genius zone. And I really like that. So if you can figure out what your strengths are, then you can call that your genius zone. And that's where you're going to operate out of. So if your strengths are, you know, if you're really a people person and you're great at getting out there and networking, then that's how you're going to build your business. And so really that self-awareness and peace, I think is a great place to start. I'll stop there because I can just keep going on and
oh,
on.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you have any other ones, throw them out there. I'm sure people are writing it down just like I am.
Well, actually, it's funny because I always tell people there's three things you need as a business owner, because they'll say, and we touched on all three of them already, because they'll say, you know, like, as we mentioned, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm a typical business owner. I think the only three things you absolutely need to three qualities you have to have. The rest are, you know, the rest you can figure it out. You've got to be resilient, right? So you've got to know that you're going to hear no, and it's going to suck sometimes, and that's okay. Being adaptable, and being self-aware. If you can hone in on those three things, and sometimes we fall off, you know, we don't feel as resilient as we do at other times, or as adaptable, or, you know, but if we can always, you know, I have those three things like on a sticky note at the front of my, my journal, because sometimes I start to get ahead of myself and think, oh, I don't know if I'm cut out for this anymore. This is getting so tough. And just look back at those three qualities. If you can just work on those, then everything else, I think, you know, there's no other qualities that you need. you can figure it out if you have those three. So I hope that's helpful for somebody out there.
Yes. I love the idea too of, again, I think this goes back to that book, having two different, you know, kind of types in business, and then just having, you know, these kind of three tenets. I feel like, you know, anytime you're struggling, it's so helpful to look back on one of those things and then be able to pinpoint or label it. You know, we know that with emotions, if we can label it, it makes it that much easier to work with. And then it's like, oh, I'm really struggling with adaptability right now. Okay. Sometimes, you know, with ideas or whatever we're struggling with, it can just feel so overwhelming because it's, you know, not grounded, but that's kind of a way to identify what lane am I struggling in and how do I get the support that lane needs.
Absolutely. Oh, I love the way you said it. And I feel like probably almost all challenges would probably fall under one of those three lanes. Yeah. So I think that,
Yes. And that's what, as you were saying it, I was like, oh, I am going to go put those somewhere on a post-it note. I love that. And that's such, I think, really helpful information too, because I think there's so much practical information about, starting a business and, you know, getting it going. But I do feel like that internal piece, you know, the self-awareness that you've spoke about and having that to ground yourself and then be able to work on the logistics seems so, so necessary and just such an important part. Yeah,
it is. Because, you know, if you're only focused on the practical, then let's say, you know, you really aren't the type who loves to give presentations, for example, and do in-services. It really just, you've tried and you've tried, but it makes you super anxious and, you know, maybe it's just not your strong suit. Then you're preparing, you know, someone's told you to really prepare this awesome presentation and you're making calls to present everywhere. You know, it's not the best fit. I just think really taking a look at what you like to do, what your strengths are before you spend lots of time preparing for something that won't be a good fit for you.
Yes, definitely. And setting, you know, at that point, it's like setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
It feels so terrible. And then it's like, maybe I'm not cut out for this. But really, all of that could have been stopped way ahead of time.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, it's going to happen no matter what, that even if you're super self-aware, you might still, I mean, you definitely still will have those times you're like, oh man, I didn't do that well. The best because I'm learning. But, you know, so there's a balance for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had a follow-up question and I think it was about COVID, but now I feel like you really kind of answered that too, because I feel like those three needs go into it of, you know, what would you tell other businesses who are struggling during COVID, you know, for them too.
Totally. Yeah. They definitely still apply. And I think the biggest thing that I've, you know, the main thing I've shared with people is to really be okay with trial and error during this time. You know, that's all we can do because so much of this, you know, going online is new for us. And just to be okay with that, you know, you may try, you may try it out a new program online that's, you know, a 4-week program, and maybe nobody signs up, and that's okay. And just, you know, learn why and try again, or try something new. And just, I think it's kind of an interesting time to be really creative. So we might as well use it. I've tried all sorts of programs that have had no registrants, and I've had some that have had a few and some that have had many. But I've really, you know, I've tried to enjoy the fact that I can get a little bit creative and not worry too much about, you know, I'm not renting a space for these programs, so yeah, don't have to worry about that. So there's a bit of fun and creativity, I think, that we can enjoy during this time, yes, and not be too tough on ourselves.
Yeah, kind of tuning into some playfulness.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that element, but there's, of course, we need to sustain our business somehow, right? And keep a, you know, steady income as best we can. So there's the, you know, fun and creative and flexible element that I think we should try to enjoy, but it's also important to create some type of an action plan so you feel grounded in some way, and you have some steps that you feel comfortable with to try to maintain, you know, your business. So for me, that's been really, you know, on one hand, getting creative, but on the other hand, deciding for my business, what have I found works best online? For which population? Is it groups? Is it online? Is it programs? Is it one-to-ones, right? Like what have, after the trial and error, what works best? And then really focusing in on that, creating a bit of a marketing plan around that so that you feel grounded and like you're, you know, hopefully can start to acquire some more clients that way.
Yeah, like learning from that whole process and then taking the trials that have gone well and maximizing and moving forward.
Exactly. I think it's really helpful. Like I know for myself when I decided to just pick one lane during this time after the trial and error, I felt a lot more grounded and it's definitely helped my mental health a little bit,
right,
to do that.
Focus, mm-hmm, and like not being all over, and it's so much to try to take on. Otherwise it's too much.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, well, this is just an episode chock full of advice. I love it. There's so many great things. As we start to wrap up, can you tell us again, maybe a little bit about the different types of services that you offer for business coaching and the the 5-session thing that you were talking about earlier?
Yes. Sure. So for business coaching, I do two things. One of them is one-to-one business coaching, which is you could do it as you go, right? So if you just are feeling this week like you really need some guidance or some advice, then you can sign up for a session on our website. Alternatively, if you're just beginning your practice, you can sign up for that starter package. So it's a 5-week starter package. And once you sign up for that, you know, I send you along the list of everything we're going to be covering, and you can always add to that. And, you know, it's definitely a flexible program. And something I've started now during these crazy times is some group business coaching. And I'm just doing that once a month. And actually right now it's open to anybody who would like to join free of charge, just because I'm really feeling like people really need it. Like we're needing that sense of community right now. The more one-to-ones I do, the more I just want to get everybody together in one space to just have some discussion. So it's more of I'm calling it music therapy business momentum. I'm hoping that, you know, with each conversation, you're building a little bit more momentum in your business. And each month I select another topic that I think is relevant. So last month we actually spoke about some of the things we talked about today, which is our figuring out what your strengths are. And it was really fun. It was a small group, so we got to dive into each person's unique strengths. And I just love that. I really enjoyed myself. And this month we're talking all about networking, which is a topic I also really enjoy because I just think if we can figure out how to network in the most efficient and best way, that's one of the most significant ways we can grow our business. So doing these monthly group chats and really enjoying that.
Oh, that's so awesome. And such great variety. Like, I imagine you can easily find what you need out of those three things, you know, what's a good fit for you.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. And for our listeners also, can you tell us, I'll link to everything of course in our show notes, but sure. Where can they find you and contact you? Where's the best place to get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place is by email. So it's info@mayamusictherapy.com. And we were talking about this earlier, but Maya spelled M-I-Y-A because I get a lot of, you know, people spelling it different ways. Okay. Yes, that's the best place to reach me. And you can also go to our website, mayamusictherapy.com. And there's a contact form there as well. That's also a great place to reach me. And I'm around a lot these days. So it shouldn't take me too long to get back to anyone.
Awesome. Oh my goodness. Well, Maya, this has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on and just sharing your passions with us. It's been such a wonderful, it felt like it went by so fast, an hour, but yes, wow. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it. And I could talk about this all day. So I hope we can.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I absolutely adored talking with Maya and just get so pumped in hearing other people share their ideas and share their passions. It immediately makes me want to turn around and go dig into all the things that I want to dig into. So I hope that it made you feel that way also. Don't forget to check out the show notes so that you can see all the awesome stuff that Maya offers with her business coaching, business momentum, the book Rocket Fuel that I believe she said Kat Fulton had suggested on one of the Facebook groups, and also Connect to Music Therapy, the online music therapy magazine. It's really, really phenomenal. I'm so honored to be able to be a part of that magazine. So there are links to that in the show notes. So I wanted to give a quick update that my husband and I, we made it to Maine. Our cross-country move from Denver, Colorado to Portland, Maine went very well, and we are super happy and just getting everything set up here. I'm really excited to be here. So super thankful that everything just went as smooth as possible as it can on a cross-country move. Also, we have some really exciting things coming up in the next few months, so I just wanted to invite you to hop on our newsletter if you are not on there already. I just sent out a really exciting freebie today that's Roll a Story downloads. There's always free downloads and resources going into that newsletter. There is a link as well in our show notes if you want to hop on there. But we've got some really exciting things coming up in the next few weeks, in the next couple months, some courses that are going to be fantastic, a bunch of different free resources, some other resources that are going to be coming out. So hop on that newsletter. If you've got a minute and you want to support the podcast, I tell people all the time, really the best way that you can support us is to tell a friend. And if you have a minute, to hop on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. It helps so much. It's really unbelievable how much like the 15 seconds of writing a quick review can help the podcast, but it really, really does. It helps other people who don't know about us yet. It pops up. It makes us more visible in their searches when they're looking for content. So if you've got a minute, I would appreciate that so, so, so much. I'm sending you all the best right now, hoping that you're having a wonderful week. I hope everyone's taking care of themselves as the holiday season begins and things can get stressful, but I'm sending you the best, and thank you so much again for listening, and be creative.